And this morning, we're going to be jumping right in. We're looking at the topic, an urgent invitation from the heart of Jesus. Come as you are, leave with his rest. And if you have your Bibles this morning, you can go to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be looking from verses 25 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 30. You'll see the words as well up on the screen, but it's always good to follow along on your own device. And so verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, we all enjoy this verse, I'm sure. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's just pray. So, Lord, we come this morning and we look at your word. And we never want to delve into it, Lord, without asking you to be here. We need you. Otherwise, yes, it is your living word. But if you don't speak into our lives, we walk out of here the same way we came in. And so this morning, may your Holy Spirit just work across the sanctuary, including my life, and speak into us so that we know what it is you would have for us today, this week, but also what you want to do in us and through us. And so work in us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone take a deep breath this morning. All right, isn't that nice? Okay, we're not doing yoga, don't worry, nothing like that. But when you look at that last part of Matthew chapter 11, it's a nice thought, rest. His burden is light. And it's a beautiful saying. Right in the midst of all the turmoil that we are in our world today, in our lives today, that's beautiful. And about 11 times in the Gospel of Matthew and John, we read that Jesus made statements containing the words, I will. He said, I'll do this, I'll do that. Let me give you a few examples. He said, I will make you fishers of men, right? He said, I will build my, I see a few of you got it, church. He said, I will rise, come on, again. Okay. And thank God he said, I will come again. And as I mentioned, there's about 11 of them in total that Jesus said. And there's one of these I will statements right here in the passage that we read together. Look at verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. What a wonderful statement by Jesus. They may be some of the most precious words Jesus ever spoke. I will give you rest. You know, I meet so many weary people these days, so many people who are burned out by life, and they're burdened down with anxieties. We have a national and an international mental health crisis. And just because of the pressures of this generation, there are so many people with anxiety. Just living life itself is wearying, isn't it? Think about this. If you're an average weight and height, and this obviously does not apply to me, here are some things that you go through on an average 24-hour period. Your heart will beat 103,689 times in 24 hours. Your blood will travel 168 million miles as your heart pumps approximately 4 ounces per beat. You will breathe 23,040 times, inhaling 438 cubic feet of air. Your stomach will take in 3.5 pounds of food and 2.74 liters of liquid. You will lose 7/8 of a pound of waste. If you're a man, you will speak 4,800 words. If you're a woman, you will speak close to 7,000 words. Hey, listen, this is just a fact. I'm making no comment there. I value my life, okay? You will move 750 muscles and you will exercise 7 million brain cells. There you go, wives, women, you know now we have brain cells, at least 7 million of them. So no wonder we're exhausted. We're doing all that just to survive, just to stay ambulatory. And we're going through all of these processes. And on top of that, there are so many burdens and difficulties that life throws on you. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, it doesn't matter. Life gets hard. And then on top of that, there are so many burdens and difficulties that come to us because we are people of faith, because we are Christians. And that would be many of us in this room. You know what? We're swimming against the stream. And when you swim against the current, you use additional muscle, spiritual and emotional and psychological muscle. And so there's a lot of burdens in our lives. And thank God for these words of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, the whole background passage to this passage, if you take the time to read through the whole of Matthew chapter 11, is that Jesus had completed a phase of training with his disciples and he'd sent them out. This was kind of his practice. He would do some training and he would send the disciples out to do what they had learned. And they went out to towns and villages all around the north of Israel. And they went out in pairs and they taught what Jesus had told them and they preached and they laid their hands on the sick and sick people got well. It was an amazing, amazing thing. What Jesus was doing, as well as their training, was he sent them out as advanced people. Because then what Jesus did was he went and ministered in those same towns where the disciples had already gone. And so people were hearing Jesus' life-changing teaching. And they were seeing him, and his disciples backed it up with amazing healings and signs and wonders. And huge crowds began to follow Jesus all over. But at the same time, there were also a lot of people who didn't respond to Jesus at all. Jesus has always done this all the way through history. He has been a dividing line between people. You know, Jesus said that. He said, don't think that I came to bring peace. I came to bring a sword to divide. And he has always divided people. The ones who will hear his call and the ones who will turn their backs and ignore or reject him. He doesn't divide on racial lines or status lines or gender lines or anything like that. He divides on this one question. What will you do with him? And sometimes it happens in our own families that there's that division. People came to him and people turned away from him. And so Jesus began to preach in some of these towns like Chorazin and Bethsaida, and even in his home base town of Capernaum. And he said to him these words, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here. He said, if Tyre and Sidon have been privileged to hear the teaching that I'm giving you now and to see the wonderful works that I'm doing among you, those hardened, wicked cities would have repented. And you have this amazing opportunity, but you're turning your backs. You're sticking your fingers in your ears. You're covering your eyes. How hard must your hearts be? See, that's a real challenging message for us Canadians today, because we have been so blessed by the Christian message, by the Christian gospel, right from the very founding of this nation. And I want to tell you that it's a big responsibility. We need to hear Jesus' words in Matthew 11, 22. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Our nation has turned our backs on the light that we have been given. We know that. We can see that happening. And we as individuals cannot do the same. When Jesus started to meet up with his disciples again, they came back from their preaching tours back to where Jesus was, and they were so excited about what had happened while they were preaching. And Jesus had given them that authority to heal. And they said to them, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The disciples were praying for demonized people and they were being delivered. And they were so excited about everything that God was enabling them to do. And they realized that it wasn't them, it was God working through them. So understand, there's this big division between people. On the one hand, the disciples and the crowds who were following Jesus, and on the other hand, whole towns that just shut them out and refused to listen. And that's where we come to in our reading, where Jesus makes an amazing invitation to everyone, those who were already coming and those who are rejecting. And he makes this invitation in verse 28 to 30. And this invitation of Jesus still rings out to every one of us today. It's the invitation of the ages. And you will never get a better invitation than this. It's an invitation to, and it was an invitation to them. It's an invitation to you. And it's an invitation to me. And I want to show you that it's an invitation that actually has four parts to it. And so we're going to break it down and look at it really quick this morning. First off, it was an invitation to come. You look at verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think about that. Come. The way back to God has been closed to us for so long. Human beings have been cut off from God. You know, when Adam and Eve fell from grace in the garden of sin right at the beginning, when they sinned, it says that God put a flaming sword at the gates of Eden so they couldn't come back in. He shut them out into a wasteland because sin always separates us from God. And so we were cut off from that moment. When Moses was around, he led the people of Israel out of Egypt and out of their slavery. And they came to this place called Mount Sinai where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. But only Moses was able to go up into the mountain. And no one else really wanted to go up there because there was thunder, lightning, fire, just not a happy looking place for them. They were scared. So no one else went up there except Moses. And the Bible says that there was a perimeter around the line. And he said, don't cross that line. Why? Because sinful man is always cut off from God. Always cut out. And God was even at that moment bringing, though, a nation to himself so that they could come back to him. But until that covenant was in place, there had to be a perimeter, a line. You stayed back from God's presence. In the temple, God's house, the priests and the people who prepared themselves could come in only so far. And then there was this final room called the Holy of Holies right at the end of the temple where the presence of God was said to reside. And the Ark of the Covenant was there. And there's this thick, massive curtain blocking the way. No one's allowed in there except once a year, the high priest. See, we've been cut off from God since Adam and Eve. And so King David, the beautiful writer of a lot of the Psalms in the Bible, he said this, in Psalm 24, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? See, this is the only kind of person that can come into God's presence. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Now that's a problem because that doesn't describe anybody in this room. We've all sinned. Our hands are already filthied by sin. We've already tainted our hearts and we can't come to God. We're cut off. We always have been. It's how we were born. And so we're disqualified. And yet here is Jesus standing up, lifting up his voice, talking to everyone who can hear him. It's written in the Bible for you and me this morning. And Jesus says loudly and freely, come. Come. See, religion says do, but Jesus says come. In the days that Jesus said these words, religious leaders were telling people that they had to do more, to do more, to do more, so that God might accept them. Before they could come to God, they would have to measure up. And Jesus just pushes all of that aside. And he says, come as you are, and I will give you rest. You see that? I will give it to you, he says. It's not something you can earn. It's a gift. Jesus says, I will give you rest. The Christian life is not me trying to live like Jesus. It is Jesus living his life in me. And that's a completely different thing. When he comes into our lives and changes them. Well, who does he invite? Well, it's very interesting who he invites. I've said it's everybody, and that's true. Listen to who it actually says he invites. It says, all who labor and are heavy laden. That's who the invitation's to. All who labor and are heavy laden. Notice there, labor is something that is active. It's something you're doing, 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 doing. And we live in the GTA area, and we're always doing, 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 doing. He says it's labor. It's exhausting. We're tired. We're weary. He says, all of you who are doing, all those who labor, then those who are heavy laden and those who are heavy laden, even when we're not doing, stuff is still being put on us because this is passive. But we are burdened by all that we're doing and even just the stuff that's being put on us. And so this invitation comes. It comes to us. And if you're feeling burdened and weary and heavy laden, this invitation is for you. The invitation is regardless of status or capacity. And look at what Jesus prayed out loud a couple of verses before in verses 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Some versions use the word babes instead of little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. God delights to open up all of his infinite riches and wisdom and goodness and blessing to children or babes. What's he talking about? When he says a babe, what is a babe? Well, you could say it's someone under a certain age, but that's not what he means here. He means it's people who are weak and totally dependent. Think of a baby, and I know, you know, I just made that reference, a certain age. You know, we as a church, we rejoiced with Isaiah and Jocelyn Nodder on the birth of their son Elijah last week. But Elijah is completely dependent upon his parents right now to do anything. You have to do everything for him. And it's the person who recognizes that they have that kind of need, that dependency. That's who the invitation is to. And so what could stop you from receiving the invitation from Jesus this morning? Really, only one thing could stop you. That is if you don't sense or admit your need. If you say, I don't labor, I'm not heavy laden, I have no need of God's help with my burden, I can do this all on my own. Well, the invitation's not addressed to you, is it? Because you've got a bit of a hard heart. But for the rest of us, thank God, it's for us. When we say, yeah, I need his help. All who are burdened and heavy laden. See, some people are too wise, too clever, so self-sufficient. It's just they never hear the invitation. They're not listening. Jesus says to all who will hear, come. Come and listen. He doesn't say come to church. If you find a good church, it's a really helpful thing, and we're glad you're with us today. We think this is a good church. But church can't give you rest for your soul. He doesn't say, come to the sermon, come to the preachers, come to the pastors. He doesn't say that. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And when he says, I, If you were to read that in the original Greek language, it is an emphatic I. It says literally, it means I, myself, and no other person. I will give you rest. And so we come to Jesus in answer to his invitation, and he gives us rest for our souls. And so it's an invitation to come. Secondly, it's an invitation to take. Verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for my souls." Take. Well, take what? Take a yoke. Take my yoke. All right, and so we need to have an understanding of what he's talking about there. This. I got a picture up here for you. Let's throw it up. See, that is a yoke. Okay, in case you didn't know, there you go. Growing up, whenever I heard this verse, I always thought of yoke. Not Y-O-K-E, but you know where I'm going, Y-O-L-K. Crack an egg. I'm thinking, what are you talking about, Jesus? I grew up in Scarborough. We don't have many yoke there like this. But it has two pieces, as you can see, that you put the heads of the two animals in there. So this is a yoke. Now, there you go. That's a picture of what it looks like on animals. There are two oxen who have yoke around their necks and they're pulling the cart. And it's a yoke that keeps them together, keeps them in harmony. And they pull whatever it is that is their load behind them. It's a yoke of oxen. And you would sometimes see them out in the field pulling a plow. Sometimes you see them going down the street, okay, pulling carts. You know, you might see, you know, you can imagine just here's this old cobblestone street. You know, this guy has a yoke on it, especially like dairy cans. You know, he's going along, he's got his oxen pulling the cart, you know, Bernese Mountain Dog running along beside it going, yeah, that's great. Okay, you get this imagery of just things working together. Now, the word yoke always, always means two. If a single animal is linked to a load, it's pulling a cart or something like a plow. If it's a single animal, it's not a yoke, it's a harness. The word yoke has the idea of coupling two animals together. And in this picture that Jesus gives us, when he says, "Take my yoke on you," he's calling us to be linked up with him. Our heads in one loop, his in the other. And to be linked up with him, to be side by side with him, to be joined to him. And when we do that, when we're in partnership with Jesus, we have both the wisdom and the power that we need. We have both the direction for our lives and the strength for our lives that we need. And that's what it means when Jesus says, "Take my yoke on you." Now you might say to me, a yoke, isn't that just another burden? Didn't he say he came to give us rest from our burdens? Now we're getting this big yoke on us? Is that what Jesus offers us? Swap one kind of misery for another kind of misery? The world's misery for the misery of religion? Now you don't have to raise your hands right now because I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have found religion is miserable? And if you have, just bat your eyes at me. Okay? Religion is miserable. But is that what Jesus is saying? I'll lift the burden of the world, but I'll give you the burden of religion. I'll give you the misery of religion. See, the Jewish people who heard Jesus say this, they knew all about heavy yokes. They had on them at this time the yoke of Rome. The oppressive Roman Empire that made their lives miserable. It was taxation. It was hard work. There would be people being crucified, not just Jesus. I mean, hundreds and thousands of people being crucified. Anyone who was an enemy of Rome. People being thrown in prison. People being beaten. It was terrible oppression. It was the yoke of Rome. And they had the yoke of sin, like all of us have as well. And so these Jewish people knew what it was to want to live one way, but always let everybody and let themselves down by sinning. And they already had a yoke of religion, the yoke of the law that was pressing them down, because they had 613 laws or commandments that they were obligated to follow. 613. And those aren't like all the ones, those like are a lot of them are man-made ones that the religious leaders are saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to follow this, you need to do that. There were ones that God gave the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, but then man thought it was wise to add on more because they wanted to reach to God. You have to do this to get to God. And so they were living under this burden, this bondage. And you can imagine them hearing Jesus say this about, take my yoke upon you. And they're thinking, what do you have for us, Jesus? Just another burden to carry? See, a lot of people think that of Christianity. It's just a list of do's and don'ts. Just a burden on the backs of poor, naive people who've been taken in. But listen to me. Christianity is not a program or a performance. Christianity is a person. It's him. It's Jesus. Jesus didn't say, come to religion. No, he said, come to me. Come to me. Well, what do you have for us, Jesus? Another burden to carry? No. This is a very, very different type of yoke. Because you're going to get linked up with Jesus. And listen to what he says in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, don't misunderstand the word easy. It doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy in the Christian life. There's a weight to this yoke. There's a responsibility you have to pick up. But in another sense, this yoke makes life bearable. You're going to have burdens no matter what. But to have someone carrying the load with you, you might even say that there are times in your life when this yoke carries you. And so it's an invitation to come. Come to me, all you who are burdened and weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It's an invitation to take. Take my yoke on you. Get in partnership with me, and I'll help you. Thirdly, it's an invitation to learn. Again, you look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And that word learn that Jesus spoke is a Greek word, mathetes, which means disciple. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and be discipled by me. It's a call to be his followers. To be a student and a follower of Jesus is a process. He says, learn from me. Learn what? Well, we've all learned a lot of things in our lives. But what can Jesus teach us? Is it more earthly knowledge? More mathematics? More physics? More philosophy? No. Jesus is talking about learning things that really matter. Learning to know God. Learning to know the eternal stuff of God. He says that you can only learn from me. That stuff is what you can only learn from me. You can go to college or university for the other things, but come to me and learn what is really important. Verse 27, Jesus had already said this. He said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And that's what he wants to teach you, to know God, to walk with him. And that's something that is going to last not just for our lifetime, but forever. Knowing God, learn from me, be my disciple. And here's the wonderful thing. That inner circle of 12 disciples learned Jesus' life, and they loved him until their dying day. Because to know God is the most wonderful, the most blessed privilege in all the world. And they loved Jesus for it. His yoke was their joy, and they lived for him. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 11:29. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And I've pondered that verse. And I think a lot of people have said, what exactly is Jesus saying here? He could be saying a couple of different things, but I think when you boil it all down, this is what he's saying. He says, I'm gentle, lowly, really, really in heart, not just in words. He accepts everyone. He doesn't accept everything we do, but he accepts us when we come. He's gentle to receive. He's humble. The King of the universe, he's humble. The one who gave us all breath and spoke the world into existence, he's humble. Listen to what is said about him in Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, let this kind of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he didn't have to grasp up and try to be God. He was God. Jesus always was God before he came into the world. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even his death on the cross. See, here's the problem. We have this sin barrier that separates us from God. Jesus has come, but unless a way is made, we can't come. And so Jesus could only call out, come, because his own life, because he put his own life down and died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be reconciled to God. Jesus did that for us. But imagine that. The King of glory, I mean, like for eternity past, you know, everything belonged to Jesus. From the creation of the world, if he spoke a word, the angels would run and do his bidding. Planets would form at his name. And yet a bunch of Roman soldiers were able to take him and drag him down the street and put him on a cross and pound nails into his hands and kill him. How on earth could that happen? Only because he's the most humble, gentle man who ever lived and allowed it to happen. And I thank God that he rose from the dead and he still says, come. And so here we are. The one who washed the disciples' feet, Jesus, is saying, come. It's an invitation to come, to take, to learn. And finally, it's an invitation to find. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's a popular saying that goes something like this. The journey is more important than the destination. How many of you have heard that said before? You know, people have said that. It's a nice little platitude. The journey is more important than the destination. But listen, we need to understand that there's a kind of truth in that. But the problem is, there's so many people that have these journeys that might be very interesting and very complex and what have you, but they never arrive at any destination. Jesus says there is a destination to find. It's not just the journey. The journey is important, but there is a destination to arrive at. You know, the Bible talks about people who are always learning but never able to come up to a knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, people always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of truth. They never arrive. That's why you can walk into chapters, you go to the self-help section, and they always have new titles, and there's thousands of them. Why? Because no one's come up with the answer yet. No one's got to the destination there. They just pour out all this stuff, and they say the journey's more important. There's nothing at the end, though. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. You will find rest for your souls. There's a destination. What you're really looking for. Rest at last for the weary. St. Augustine famously prayed these words. He said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it rests in you. And he's right. I've met people from all over the world, and I can tell you this, we never stop our searching for rest until we find God. And then we find rest. There's a God-shaped vacuum inside of you that only he can fill. And you need him above everything else. And Jesus says, you can have him. It's an invitation to come, to take, to learn, and to find. God offers you this invitation today, church. And listen, it's not in just this one paragraph in the Bible. This invitation is actually all over the Bible. It's everywhere. In Isaiah 55, way back 600 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah was already announcing God's plan to send Jesus. And he said this, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." He says the things you're really searching for, God's going to give them to you in his son, Jesus. In Revelation 22, okay, we have Isaiah, who was before Jesus. Now you get to the end of the story, the last book of the Bible. And this is a sound that's echoing today and often in the future, where it says, "The Spirit and the bride say," come on, bride, say it, "come." "And let the one who hears say," so in other words, "join us and call others to come. And let the one who is thirsty," "let the one who desires to take the water of life without price." God offers you all that he has if you'll come to him through Jesus. "Oh, but pastor, are you sure that the invitation is for me? I mean, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done." I've got a pretty good idea. I got a pretty good idea what you've done. You know why? Because we all start at the same place. Cut off from God by our sin. Running from him as hard as we can. Making a mess of our lives. See, that was me. And guess what? At times it still tends to be me making a mess of things. But I thank God now that I am yoked to Jesus and he's leading me. And he's helping me. And no matter who you are or what you've done this morning, the promise is exactly the same for every one of us. Listen to what Jesus said in John 6, verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." I did a whole word study in Greek on that word "all," at the first part of 37. And you know what it means? It means all, everything. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." How do I know this morning that the invitation is for you? When you come to him, when you RSVP, that's proof. He said, "They will come to me because I call them so wonderfully, because God promises that he will never turn anyone away." He has never, ever done that. And so I know that that invitation was for me and it is for you. And so would you bow your heads with me this morning? Close your eyes. See, Jesus is calling to you this morning. He says, you may have burdens. You may have anxiety. You may be stressed out. But I'm telling you right now, he says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus wants to do for you today. He doesn't want to load you up with religion, and so don't believe that lie. He wants to give you himself. And whoever you are this morning, whatever you've done this morning, he forgives. All you need to do is call upon him. It's that simple. You don't have to do. You just have to come and accept the invitation, accept the RSVP.